Why are universities still teaching bubble sort? That's what we're going to talk about this week. But before we get to this week's question, here's a quick review from iTunes. Snoopy82481 says in a review titled, "Very Informative," "I am not a developer, but do enjoy dabbling in code from time to time. These lessons have helped me understand the fundamentals of programming easier than reading in a book. Thank you and keep up the good work." Thank you for your review and comments. If you'd like me to read your review, well, the first step is you have to leave a review. This might be the last review for a while until we get some more. The thing I liked about this review was the message that you don't have to be a developer to benefit from this podcast and from learning how to code. One of my students from the live classes once told me that he doesn't want to be a programmer. He just wants to learn how to program. Okay, on to the question this week. This is really my question. My daughter mentioned to me that she had to implement a bubble sort routine for one of her university classes. I was amazed that this was still being taught, and I asked if the professor at least explained that it should not be used. There was nothing like that. The university was showing students how to sort items with one of the worst algorithms possible and didn't even bother to inform the students. The only time bubble sort performs well is when the items are already sorted. Why would a university ask students to learn bubble sort as if that was the best choice? Okay, there's always some value in learning things, and maybe the bubble sort could be a historical lesson. The problem is that it's not always presented like that. It's often presented as a simple sorting algorithm. It's easy to teach and easy to learn. If I was taking a course in wilderness survival, then learning how to start a fire by rubbing sticks is also easy to teach and easy to learn. The difference is rubbing sticks together actually has value. If that's all I have available, then I'll still be able to keep warm. Computers don't work like that. When you know how to program, the only reason the bubble sort would ever be your only choice is if it was the only thing you know. That's why it's so important to take the time to teach better sorting algorithms, even if the other algorithms are a little more complicated. How much more complicated are we talking about? Not much, actually. I'll describe both algorithms right after this message from our sponsor. The one thing that all professional programmers share is that we take action. Go ahead, text PROGRAM to the number 44222 now. It's hard, I know, to get started, and if you need some help, then all you need to do is register for one of the Take Up Code free or paid live classes. You can attend with just your computer and an internet connection from anywhere in the world. These are live workshops instead of just lectures. You get enough lecturing already. These are fun workshops. You have enough boring tasks already. And these are focused on results. Text the word PROGRAM to the number 44222 and you'll be on your way. You can also visit takeupcode.com to begin. Let me start by saying, this is the bubble sort algorithm. Don't use it. I'm explaining it mainly so you can see that it's not that much simpler than another algorithm called the quick sort. It's a little hard to describe programming steps in audio only, so instead I'm going to describe the result of a small set of numbers we'll be sorting. Let's take the numbers 1 through 5. We want the end result to be 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. They'll start out in this order, 2, 1, 5, 4, and 3. A bubble sort will make multiple passes through the numbers and compare two numbers at a time. If it finds any two numbers out of order, it swaps them and moves on. When it can make a full pass through the numbers without making any swaps, then it's done. On the first pass, it compares the first two numbers 2 and 1 and will swap them so they're now 1 and then 2. Then it will compare 2 with 5 and leave them alone. Then 5 will get compared with 4 and swapped. Then 5 will get compared with 3 and swapped. After the first pass, the numbers are now 1, 2, 4, 3, and 5. Since the first pass swapped numbers, at least one more pass is needed, so bubble sort starts over at the beginning again and compares 1 with 2. It leaves them alone and compares 2 with 4 and leaves them alone. Then it compares 4 with 3 and swaps them. Then it compares 4 with 5 and leaves them alone. The second pass is now done. A third pass is needed since the second pass had a swap. This time all the numbers are in order and the bubble sort is done. Now let's look at the quick sort. This algorithm works by dividing and conquering. Anytime you can divide a problem into smaller problems and solve them separately, you'll have a much better algorithm than repeatedly doing the same work over and over. Quick sort works by selecting a number called the pivot and then making a pass through the numbers, putting anything smaller than the pivot on one side and anything larger than the pivot on the other side. The pivot itself then goes between the two sides. It doesn't try to sort each side yet. It just places the numbers in the correct side. All that's left to do then is sort each side. These are now smaller and simpler problems and will be solved faster. The algorithm just repeats the same process of selecting a pivot, organizing sides, and then placing the pivot in the middle. You see, each time a pivot gets placed in the middle, it's in the correct spot and doesn't need to be looked at again. There are different ways to select a pivot, and quicksort does have the potential to be just as slow as bubble sort if the absolute worst choice for a pivot is made each time. In practice, this doesn't happen, but it could. What's the worst choice for a pivot? Well, either the largest or smallest number is the worst choice. Why? Because either the largest or smallest number will end up putting all the other numbers on only one side. You lose the benefit of dividing the problem when all you do is move everything except the pivot to one side or the other. For this example, we'll choose the last item as the pivot each time. Back to the numbers in the same initial unsorted order, 2, 1, 5, 4, and 3. The last number is 3, so that's our pivot. Then we make a pass. Is 2 less than 3? Yes, so it goes on the left. It's already on the left, so we move to 1. Is 1 less than 3? Yes, so we extend the left side to include both the 2 and the 1. We don't yet have a right side. Moving to the next number, is 5 less than 3? No, this becomes the first number we'll include on the right side. It can stay where it is for now. The next number is 4, which also belongs to the right and can stay where it is. We made it to the pivot, which is currently at the end of the right side, so to put it in the middle, we swap it with the first item that's in the right side, which is the 5. The first pass is done, and the 3 is in the proper location. The sequence is now 2, 1, 3, 4, and 5. The left side contains the 2 and 1, and the right side contains the 4 and 5. Each side then goes through the same process. The quicksort algorithm is a little harder to follow. You might want to replay this episode with some paper and a pen to get the feel for it, but it's not really that much harder. Surely for a college course with dry erase whiteboards, the professor could explain quicksort. At the very least, you'll know now that you do have options. The bubble sort algorithm has a big O complexity of n squared, and the quicksort has a normal runtime of n log n. Check out episodes 36, 37, and 38 for more information about big O notation and what it means. Do you have a question that you'd like me to answer? Taking the time to ask a question helps not only you, but everybody who listens as well. Just go to takeupcode.com/contact and you'll find a form that you can use to submit your question.